Access number 30418, Professor Eric Greg Robery, Reel 7. Now, you've been recalled to Binbrook halfway through May. Well, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So what happened next then?
Well, we were there until July.
So you'd been recalled, but you didn't set off. You stayed at Binbrook.
No. What happened was we were there. We didn't do much flying.
So what were you doing? It's difficult to, you know.
Yes.
Was it just training flights?
This is the 9th of June. Pilot Officer Heyman. There it is. That's when he had his commission. Pilot Officer Heyman. We did very long night flight all over the place. To Selsey Bill, Cap Barfleur, Lyon, Lake Annecy, St. Etienne, St. Malo, Cap de la Haye, Christchurch, and Hayford, and back to base. 7 hours and 30 minutes. I think it was just a long flight to give the pilot more experience, you know, night flying over other country, and the navigator again, flying over Europe, deep into France, and all this sort of thing. Then on the 15th of June, it was Pilot Officer Heyman again. We did a daylight sightseeing trip, German sightseeing trip cross country.
Yeah, I think that's that has an operation name actually. It's looking at
it's
the
not
damage.
Operational, no, it's not
but
operational.
It's looking at the damage caused by the bombing. Isn't it?
All in red. This was just a sightseeing cross country at low level. Very interesting. We went to Heligoland, Cuxhaven, Brunswick, Hamburg, Kassel, the Mona Dam, Dusseldorf, and back to base. 6 hours and a half. That, I think, yes, was my last flight at Binbrook.
And that was, what date was that last one?
That was the 15th of June.
Now, so what happened then? I mean, what did you think would happen? Because as far as you're concerned, I mean, you're still fighting the Japanese, and you're down to be sent there. You know, the squadron was.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Before that last flight, after the end of the war, a week before that, what was classed as operational, our flight engineer, Bill Turnbull, got married on the 2nd of June, and he invited all the crew up to the wedding. We knew his wife by then. She'd lived on a place near the station. Excuse me. The two Australians couldn't get up to the wedding, but the rest of the crew did. That was on the 2nd of June, and that's when I met my wife, because she lived a few doors away, and the neighbours billeted us, you know, the air crew during the wedding, and I was billeted in the house next door to hers, an old couple and family. But all the crew, apart from the two Australians, were up there for Bill Turnbull's wedding. And we had a great time. And I clicked on with my wife and continued writing to her when I got back. And eventually, after the war, you know, we got married.
Now, what happened?
So that was the 2nd of June. We went back to Binbrook. And on the 15th of June, we did that
the last flight,
sightseeing trip. And we were supposedly there waiting for the aircraft to be modified for different air filters and all this sort of thing for tropical flying. That's what we thought we were waiting for, and we're then going to fly out as a squadron, fly all the planes out to somewhere in the Far East. And while we were there, quite out of the blue, they changed the plan and decided that all the Englishmen, or all the non-Australians, would be taken out of the crew. They would make up all Australian crews, and they would fly the Lancs. They had available for them. They would fly out to wherever they were going in the Far East, because they were on the way home. They were near home over there.
So you were going to be left behind.
So all of the Englishmen, all of our crew, apart from the pilot and navigator, had to, or were sent to, a holding unit at Burn in Yorkshire, near
Burn.
Selby. Yeah, B-U-R-N. Wasn't an aerodrome, I don't remember. They just shoved all the unwanted air crew out to there. We had to choose a ground trade.
And this is July, is it? Oh.
Well, the last date we got here is the 15th of June, but it was definitely July.
That's fine.
When we went there, and I haven't got any dates.
So what?
So we sometime in early July, we saw the last of the two Australians, and there was just myself. Myself, Taff Rees, the bomb aimer, Howard John, the mid-upper gunner, and I think, no, Bill Turnbull wasn't there at Burn. Can't remember him being there. But the two gunners and me.
So what were you
and
doing?
I think Maxie, the rear gunner, was there.
So what were you doing there then? Or was it nothing? It's quite often, is it?
We had to choose a ground trade.
Now what was the choice?
Oh, all sorts of things. And we were all flattened, you know. Once the war was over, if we weren't going out to the Far East, all we wanted to do was get home and take up our careers, or even start our careers.
So you
but we had to choose trade. You had to put down three options. I put down a radar mechanic. Had a lot to do with the operating radar. I thought, well, a mechanics course. I couldn't be trained as an operator because I was already, so a mechanics course I thought would be a good thing to do and most useful when I eventually got back into Civvy Street. Second choice was something else, I don't know. And the third choice was motor mechanic. I thought, probably have a car once the war's over and need to know how to look after it. So I put three choices down. And once that was settled, we all went our separate ways. We were sent on indefinite leave to be recalled in due course to whatever course they were going to send us on. We were given, I think, 6 weeks pay and 6 weeks rations. We expected to be recalled after the 6 weeks. When the 6 weeks was ended, I was at home. I was at home at Liverpool first. But I knew I'd be there for 6 weeks, so I was occasionally trotting up to the northeast, you know, to see my future wife and the flight engineer. I think I saw a bit of him up there and his family. Did that for 6 weeks, and then was waiting at home for a recall. I'd had my, you used to get your, when you're on leave, you got your rations and pay every fortnight if you're on extended leave. The end of the 6 weeks came, for which I'd had my rations and pay. So I waited till the 8th week and received nothing. What's happening here? Oh, well, never mind. I wasn't short of money. So I went back up to Newcastle. Came back down home, wasn't there a long time. That was after 8 weeks. Got back down home. Nothing arrived after the 8th week. Nothing arrived after the 10th week. Oh, my God, I'll have to do something about this. So I wrote to the RAF records office at Uxbridge, gave them all my particulars, and waited for some response. Eventually I did get a response after being on leave 14. I think I wrote to them twice, actually, because I got nothing after 10 weeks. I wrote to them. I got nothing at the 12 weeks. And I think I must have written to them again after 14 weeks. So after the 12th week, I might have got something. Because I had a warrant in our passbooks to take us back to wherever we had to go. And I was called to Compton Bassett in Wiltshire, which is where I'd been. You know, near there. I wasn't stationed there, but we used to go down there for flying, and I hated the place.
Now, when would this be? January? I'm losing.
Where are we?
Won't be in your logbook.
July 6th, we were sent on indefinitely. Around about July the 6th. 14 weeks after that, over 3 months, July. August, September, October. It would be into the November sometime.
So what happened when you got to Compton Bassett?
It slung me in the guard room. When I got word that I'd got this notification, telegram, I was up at in the northeast, and my father got in touch with me. I don't know if he wrote to me or sent me a telegram to say, I think first of all it had a week or two before, two military policemen there, army red caps, looking for me, absent without leave. But then he let me know I had this warrant to go back to report to Compton Bassett, and when I got there they put me in the guard room. I said, oh yeah, hold on. You should have been here 6 weeks, or you know, after 6 weeks. All your draft mechanics, radar mechanics, they were all sent out to Italy. They all flew out to Italy, where the course was. Oh my God, I've missed it. So anyway, they sorted it out. They found, after investigating, I was only in the guard room a few hours, I think, really. They gave me a billet. And then I was called in to see the CO, I think it was the next day. And he said, you're a very lucky young man. The telegram that we sent you never got any further than Leeds Post Office. Oh, I said, thank goodness for that. I said, well, if they hadn't discovered that, what sort of trouble am I going to be in? He said, you'd be being in deep trouble. Don't worry about it, he said. It's not your fault. And I did. I had got in touch with the records people, I think a couple of times. And no, he said, "Don't worry about it." He said, "I suppose you'll be wanting some money now, will you?" Oh, I said, "Yes." Well, he gave me a chitty to go to pay accounts. And I got an extra, almost an 8 weeks' pay all in one lump sum. The gasps of astonishment. I had to go on a pay parade to get it. And the gasps of astonishment when they get from all the other books. So that was it. I'd missed what I'd, my first choice that I'd put down for. And as I'd missed that, then the next thing I couldn't be on it because there wasn't another course. And I was waiting for a posting to a motor mechanics course, of all things. And I waited weeks and weeks and weeks at Compton Bassett. And eventually I did get my posting. By this time, by the way, I was a warrant officer.
Now, tell me about that. What difference did it make being promoted? Because that's quite a senior rank.
Yeah. Well, it was, so long as if you were a crew, so long as you kept your nose clean and passed all the trade tests, it was automatic. You know, it was every year, really. And I was due for it, you know, just on that basis. I'd done all the exams and things before. But it came through while I was at Compton Bassett. So I became a warrant officer. And while I was at Compton Bassett, having nothing to do, they put me in charge of a batch of recruits from Jamaica. Raw recruits, Jamaicans. They weren't training for air crew. It wasn't an aerodrome. I don't know what they were doing at Compton Bassett.
A ground crew or ground...
Sort of ground jobs, you know, working on the aircraft, you know.
How did you get on with them?
I didn't see an awful lot of them. All I had to do was make sure that they got their ration of sugar every day. They used to... This was July, August, September-ish. The weather was quite good, you know, decent.
These lads were
walking around in greatcoats and scarves. They couldn't stand our...
I'm a bit confused about where we are, because you went to Compton Bassett in November.
Yes, I was still at Compton Bassett.
You've been there nearly 6 months then?
I must have been. I think it must
have
been.
So they were cold.
They used to get an extra ration of sugar every week. I think 3 2-pound bags of Lyle sugar. And they used to eat it by the spoonful to keep them warm. That's what they said. And then there were a number of other aircrew there beside me doing the same sort of thing, waiting, you know, for ground course. They'd been grounded and they had nothing else to do with us, you know. Surplus to requirements we were. I was supposed to report to the station warrant officer every day, and he would give us jobs to do. He never had anything to do for us. Oh, go and do so and so. I ended up painting out one of the big huts that they used as a classroom, a great big classroom, or a laboratory, where all the staff there used to come for their 11s in the morning, you know. Used to make sure the urns of tea were brought, and used to have biscuits and things to sell them. Used to sell them stuff, and we had to keep an account of it and pass it over. And then we got a job of painting one of the... Not just me, you know, a few of us. Little odd jobs all the time. It was a right waste of time. I was sick as a parrot. As we all were. And then right out of the blue, again, I received a posting to the motor mechanics course at Kinloss. Scotland. Oh, I thought, great, that'd be a bit nicer place. And it was an aerodrome, Coastal Command Room. So I was up there.
And I remember
going up in the winter because it was a beautiful ride.
So is this 46? The winter of 46?
Yeah.
No. So you were at Compton Bassett a year. Seems a long time.
No, not the winter of 46. No, winter of 45.
But you only went to Compton Bassett in
November.
I couldn't
have been in Compton Bassett that long. How long did I say Compton Bassett?
Well, you said you went to Compton Bassett in November 45.
Yeah, that's where I should have gone in the July or the August. And I was on leave 14 weeks and then recalled there. So from the...
Let's just leave it at 45.
From the 6th of July... 14 weeks. Yes, it's 45. 3 months.
But you said...
July, August, September. Oh, no. That's right.
We'll just put 45 to 46 at Compton Bassett. We're not going to worry too much. It's the business about the West Indians in the summer that causes the problem.
There's something coming to mind now. I didn't get my warrant officers at Compton Bassett. I was thinking I did. I got it at Kinloss.
Is that where you were on?
I can remember now. I'll tell
you. Is that where you had the Jamaican recruits then?
No. The Jamaican recruits.
I think that whatever it was, it wasn't high summer when you had the Jamaican recruits. We'll just leave it at that.
It wasn't high summer. Definitely.
You said July, you see. So let's not worry too much about it. So you're at Compton Bassett, 45 to 40, into the winter of 46.
Yeah.
And then you went to Kinloss sometime in 46.
Yeah.
Now, what were you doing there? What do you remember about the...
Well, at Kinloss, it was the same, really, as what had happened at Compton Bassett. I was supposed to be on a motor mechanics course. Again, I was in a hut, not a listen hut, but a, you know, a sort of hut. Again, with one or two air crew who were hanging around like me, waiting for demob and having nothing to do. And they did have a job for me there. They sent me to the MT section, which is an old stone, tumble-down bit of a barn place. Which had a warrant officer in charge of it. And I can remember being there on Derby Day.
Now, what were you doing
there? I was there before Derby Day. Well, I was supposed to be undergoing a course of training as a motor mechanic. And there was a sergeant, I think, and a couple of squaddies in the department that they sent me to, tinkering around with wagons and changing the
oil. But it wasn't a course, really.
And I used to report up there in the morning. They had nothing for me to do. They didn't want to know. They didn't want to teach me the job. I said, well, that's what I've been sent to do. I mean, a lot of air crew that were grounded, English blokes, were treated like this after the war. It made us very bitter indeed.
Was there a lot of, I mean, what? How? Tell me a bit about it. How did you feel? I mean, how resentful were you?
Well, I was resentful in so much as everybody thought we were great, so long as we were ready to fly aircrafts and risk our lives. We got rapid promotion as air crew, but that was necessary for various reasons. And the feeling that there was amongst regulars who waited years for promotion to corporals and sergeants and flight sergeants and warrant officers, it took them years. Most of them were regulars, and that was their career. And they saw young fellows like us getting all the glory. And once we were grounded and weren't any more use to the country as air crew, they seemed to resent us having the promotion and the pay that we had. We didn't want it. We wanted to be back in City Street. And the biggest bug of all was they reduced all aircrew who were like this, all redundant aircrew, to the rank of sergeant.
So you were reduced. Well, I thought you said you were promoted at Kinloss. So you were promoted, then went back down.
Yes, but I was promoted at Kinloss. Well, now I might be wrong there. I'll tell you why I said Kinloss, because I was measured for my warrant officer's uniform at Kinloss.
So, well, the point you're making, though,
I might have got my promotion at.
Yeah, I understand. Now, so were you reduced back to sergeant then?
Yeah, all air crew were reduced to the rank of sergeant, not commissioned ranks.
So how did you feel about that? What did you feel?
Disgusted. We weren't reduced in pay, but in status. And what we were thinking about was, we go on leave as a warrant officer 1 month, and a few months later you go on leave as a sergeant. And the civilian's saying, "Oh, aye, why were you demoted? What have you done?" You know, and you had to explain to them. We just felt it was a rotten thing to do. You could avoid being demoted if you accepted staying on and making a career in the Air Force. And if you wanted to continue a career as aircrew, you didn't get the same badges of rank that the others got. It was, they brought out like an American system, a ring of stars here, you know, and all this sort of thing. No stripes or crowns or anything like that. No, you know, what the British rank
did you think of staying on as a regular?
If I'd got on that initial course, yes, I think I would have done.
Even if it was ground work?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But it would have depended how I was treated. But from the moment that we were grounded, depending upon what course you took, the moment we decided we were not going to sign on for so many more years as aircrew, it would depend upon how you were treated. And it wasn't just me, quite a lot of us felt badly done by. I met a lot of grand fellows who were not this way. But the general feeling was, especially from the older warrant officers who were nearing, you know, signing off and getting a service pension. There were quite a few who understood what it was, but all I wanted to do then, because I'd made my mind up, I was going to go in for the teaching profession.
So you were just looking for DMOB, were you?
My wife, who was my fiancée then, was already at college. And I'd met two grand fellows at, where was it, Compton Bassett or Kinloss, I can't remember. But two of them were teachers.
So you decided that was the career you wanted?
Yeah. And they said to me, I said, "I don't know whether I'll have the sufficient qualifications." He says, "Yes, you will." And they told me what I had to do. You know, during all this, when I was at Compton Bassett, that's why I think I was there a long time. When I was at Compton Bassett, I was going on EVT courses, educational vocational training courses, which were specially designed for people like me, not just Air Force personnel, but all forces personnel who were waiting for demob. And I...